Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, happy Tuesday afternoon. Welcome to the Eagle Hour on the Super Talk Radio Network. Glad you're with us around the state. Wherever you're tuned in, online, however you've tuned into the Eagle Hour this afternoon, thank you. We think we've got a good show for you. We're about to talk to the play-by-play voice of Arkansas State University as we continue our tour of Sun Belt Conference universities. And learning more about each school that the Golden Eagles will now be competing with on a regular basis. Cameron Brunte, a former baseball star here for Southern Miss, he's going to be on the show today. And then later in the program, we're going to be talking to one of our new sponsors, which we're always happy to do, South Mississippi Office Supply, always welcoming new members to the advertising family of the Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios here in Hattiesburg and Laurel this afternoon. I want to say hello to Justin and the guys at Dickie's Barbecue, who sponsor the first segment of the show every day. It's a great place to take your family for a meal 7 days a week. It's a great place to cater your next event. Max Stoltz is the play-by-play voice of Arkansas State University, one of the new universities that the Golden Eagles will be competing with now that they're members of the Sun Belt. And we've been kind of taking all of you guys on a tour of the schools, not really to talk about football at this early moment, but about the universities themselves. So, Matt, we're glad to have you here and appreciate your time.
Hey, guys. Great to be on with you today. Thanks for having me.
Having lived in the Mississippi Delta right on the Mississippi-Arkansas line for about 20 years, I'm very familiar with Arkansas State, but I don't think some of our listeners here in the Magnolia State may be. So kind of set the stage, Matt. Tell us about Arkansas State University. What are the big majors there and where the school is located and anything you think is important?
Well, we're in Jonesboro, Arkansas. We're about an hour away from Memphis, and it's really a big ag area, a lot of rice, a lot of soybeans. Arkansas State University is a big part of the Jonesboro community and the Northeast Arkansas community. And I think, you know, they've taken some big strides over the last decade in particular. And the athletic program has been a big part of that. But, you know, there are two FBS football programs in the state of Arkansas, one being the University of Arkansas, the other being Arkansas State. So our athletic programs have had some success over the years, and I think the university at the same time has experienced some growth. And it's a city, Jonesboro, the city of Jonesboro has grown exponentially as well. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the state. So just a fun place to visit. I think when Southern Miss makes those trips to Jonesboro sometime here in the very near future, they'll find plenty of fun things to do, and hopefully they'll enjoy their stay.
Yeah, people that may not know much about Arkansas don't understand what a beautiful state it is, and really the Ozark Mountain Range and your part of the state, really a wonderful part of the U.S., Matt, we've learned something about some of the schools in the Sun Belt, learning earlier this week that there's a big medical school at South Alabama. Southern Miss here, of course, known for polymer science and education. What are the academic programs that Arkansas State is centered around?
Well, there is a new nursing school. And, you know, really one of the big things that's happened in the last few years is they have teamed up with the New York Institute of Technology for part of their medical program. I think that that's been a big thing that they've done. I think that Arkansas State has made some big strides there, but communications is another big area that Arkansas State has a lot of students in that program as well, and they've been able to do some big things as well. And I think that, again, I kind of mentioned at the beginning, this is a really big ag community, and I think, you know, a lot of the people, even when they go to Arkansas State, you know, they have their sights set on maybe doing something in the agriculture industry going forward. So,
no question.
I think those are some of the things that kind of stand out when you look at some of the academics and what people are concentrating on at A-State.
All right, Luke.
Matt, thanks so much for your time today. When Texas and Oklahoma realignment news broke last year, everybody thought, you know, at Southern Miss, something like this would happen. Jeremy McClain and along with Marshall and Old Dominion able to enter the Sun Belt a year earlier. What's kind of been the Arkansas State, you know, perspective from these four new schools with James Madison, with those three coming into the Sun Belt and the Sun Belt expanding?
Oh, we love it. I think the expansion has the Sun Belt has done a fantastic job at adding four schools that really fit the footprint, I think, of the Sun Belt very well, and four schools that I think are going to enhance the league even more. And if you look over the course of the past decade, and in particular over the last 5-6 years, the Sun Belt Conference has turned into a very good football conference. And just you look at the win-loss record in bowl games, and yeah, the Sun Belt's been right there at the top of the FBS for most of those years. So it kind of shows how far this league has come. We have a very good, very competitive league, and to add four schools like the Sun Belt has, I think it's going to just grow the league even further. So I think anybody you talk to around the league, and I know you've been talking to some of the other guys across the conference, they feel the same way. I think it's nothing but a good thing to add these schools.
Kelly, and the connection, you know, of course, with Southern Miss to Arkansas State, Blake Anderson, who coached here for a long time, you know, coached up there as well.
Yeah, he was OC, of course, at Southern Miss. And there was some talk as some coaching changes were taken that Blake was in – or could have been in the mix at Southern Miss, you know, had he wanted to. I know Adam Gaston, who prepped at Oak Grove High School here in Hattiesburg, yep, was a long snapper up at Arkansas State. So there's been some Mississippi flavor up in Jonesboro, but now it's
right.
They're going to get to go head to head this fall. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and it's been since 2008 since we played in football, and yeah, I can't believe it's been that long. We played, I remember my very first year at Arkansas State was the 2005 season. And that was the season, if you remember, that A-State and Southern Miss played in the New Orleans Bowl, which was actually relocated that season to Lafayette because of Hurricane Katrina. So,
Matt, that was my last game as Southern Miss football player was that game. I was the punter for that year. So we run across
right?
each other.
Okay.
We were in the same stadium once. Kelly, didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
No, that and I remember that being a good football game. Southern Miss ended up winning that one. I think it was 31-19, something like that. But and we played again 2 years later, played in Hattiesburg in 07, and then played in Jonesboro in 2008, and I remember it was just an electric atmosphere for that game in Jonesboro in 2008, and that was a game I remember in particular because A-State had got off to such a great start there and had beat Texas A&M in the opener, then beat Texas Southern in week two, 83-10, and then Southern Miss was coming in, and I think both teams were 2-0, and there was a bad snap on a field goal that went back across midfield, a field goal that A-State was attempting, and Southern Miss was able to recover, and I think they held on and ended up winning the game by 3. But I just remember the electric environment for that game. And I believe Blake Anderson was the offensive coordinator for Southern Miss for that game.
Yeah,
and you mentioned Blake, and he was just he's a great friend of mine and somebody who spent 7 years here at Arkansas State and was able to have a really good run of success.
Matt, in just about the last 30 seconds, is it just me or was Arkansas State, they formerly were the Indians, correct? And when did they make the move to Red Wolves, or am I mistaken?
They were formerly the Indians in 2007. That was the last year that they were the Indians. So when we played in that last meeting in 08, that was the first year as the Red Wolves. So they were kind of pressured into making that move, and the Red Wolves turned out to be a really good thing for us.
All right, Matt, we appreciate it very much, man. We're going to call you back a little closer to football season, a little closer to our game this year, and talk to you about football. But thank you so much for your time.
Hey, guys, really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Well, all I can say is thank God the offensive name of the Indians was removed from Arkansas State. You know, really, it really changed things for Native Americans across the country when that happened, didn't it?
Oh, boy, they wiped that right off their brow, right? And he seemed like a really good guy. I hope Arkansas State finishes second in the West.
Indians.
You said that about every team that's been on so far, Kelly. Well, you hope they finish second in the West.
Well, it's true. It's true.
Cameron Brunning, former Golden Eagle great on the Eagle Hour deck.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, don't forget you can hear the Eagle Hour podcast 365, 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. However you tune in, whether it be on the network or on our podcast, we really do appreciate it. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. Great supporters of our program, and no bigger Southern Miss fan than Miss Kathleen. They've got great apparel. They've got great merchandise for your home or your car. They're open 7 days a week on Hardy Street. You can shop them online at campusbookmark.net. My wife Angela and I moved back to Hattiesburg in 2009, immediately bought season baseball tickets, and as a result of that, got to see the four-year career of our next guest. Cameron Brunney was up to the plate 832 times in his career, 252 hits, 21 home runs, 142 RBIs, and finished a four-year college baseball career with a .303 batting average, 2009 to 2012. That's good stuff. And Cameron, I do remember you just reminded me it was Mother's Day, a walk-off home run that you hit the right field foul post in the bottom of the ninth inning to beat UAB, and you told me you remembered that day as well.
Yes, sir. And first off, man, I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. I always love being a part of some Southern Miss tradition, and I mean, nothing better than getting on the show and talking to you guys. But, yeah, definitely, man, my mom still kind of brings that up to me, man. She'll bring it up and just, so we want to reminisce about those memories, and I mean that's the first thing she always lets me remember about. So that thing is I'll always remember that home run, man. And I mean, it's great that it was on Mother's Day, so me and my mom can always talk about it.
Now, now, as a point of clarity, Cameron Brunty, was it really Mother's Day, or did you just think it was because the other team was calling you that as you rounded the bases?
Man, I'm trusting my mom, and she said it was Mother's Day.
So okay.
Yeah, so you've always believed mom, right? So you come to to Southern Miss from Gulf Breeze High School in Florida. Tell us how you made that journey, Cameron.
I went to just the showcase that Southern Miss is putting on in the fall. I think they do it every year. And I went with a couple of my high school buddies back in the day, and I guess I put on like a good enough show, and Coach Kai, the old assistant ball coach, I think he's at South Carolina now. I guess he liked enough and came to watch me play a game at Gulf Breeze, which I did horrible in. Granted, I went 0-3 with 2 Ks. But he, for some reason, liked me, and he signed me up the next day, man. It was kind of the rest of history after that. It was kind of a blessing.
Yeah, Kelly, this young man was a gritty, tough left fielder for the Golden Eagles, tenacious at the plate, just your typical Golden Eagle baseball player.
Now, Cameron, did you go to Gulf Breeze High School?
I did. I went there for 4 years. Actually, so after there was a bad hurricane, I think in, '06, was that Ivan? Was Ivan or Katrina?
Ivan was in 04. Katrina was in 05.
So I think it was Katrina. I actually went to Biloxi High School for about 6 years. My grandmother's husband passed away, so I was over there just helping out. So I actually went to Biloxi for a couple weeks. But no, I graduated and born and raised in Gulf Breeze. Went to Gulf Breeze High School, and
so you were
living over in Pensacola now.
So you were a fighting dolphin.
Fighting dolphin, yeah, I was.
How the hell do you know these things, Saturn? What is with you? Do you sit around at night and study this kind of stuff?
Hey, man.
Every time during our football games, if we scored a touchdown, our first down, they had a very annoying dolphin noise over this loudspeaker. And that is probably one of the worst things you'll possibly hear.
A flipper sound.
Yeah. However those dolphins communicate underwater or something, however they talk, man, they would just blast it over the loudspeaker and everybody would just be...
That's good stuff. Get in here, Luke, with Cameron Brunley.
Yeah, I'll find that and play that for you in just a second, Cameron. But look, you come in.
You don't have to.
Okay. Well, good. We won't do it. You come in 2009 as a true freshman. You played in basically every game. I think a lot of people don't realize you led the team in hits that year. With 77, you were named to three different, all freshman, all American teams. You know, it doesn't get much better than that. And by the way, you went to the World Series as well.
Yeah, about the hits thing, I think I got lucky because Dozier got hurt that year. And if he was still playing, you know how good he was. I think he would have taken that crown pretty easily. That was kind of insane stuff to even think about, man. As a freshman, you couldn't even kind of know where you are. You're trying to take every moment in, but you just can't because you're not really used to it. It was just a weird experience. It was a great experience, but it was just kind of just
free. Yeah, we're having a little cell phone interruption. Are you with us, Cameron?
I'm right here. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm sorry about that.
So not only do you go to the World Series, but you're a kid from Gulf Breeze, Florida. You knock off the Florida Gators in two games. That had to be pretty sweet.
It was sweet, man. Growing up as a Tim Tebow fan, it was pretty awesome, too, being able to go down there and kind of just take it to them and kind of show them who's boss in that sense.
Yeah.
I was really anxious to kind of win that game and get in there. We
ask football players this. It's a little different, The football changes at Southern Miss during your time. People left. You guys knew that Coach Palmer. It was kind of a surprise, but you guys knew Coach Palmer was leaving. And what was the transition like? You come in 1 year, Coach Palmer retires, Coach Barry takes over. I don't think I've ever asked anybody that played on both sides of that. What was the transition like for everybody?
And honestly, it wasn't too big of a transition, man. Coach Barry was there. I mean, every step of the way, right behind Coach Palmer. Coach Palmer was a great coach. He was, but Coach Barry was. I mean, he was always kind of talking to his players and always talking to us. So that, I mean, the transition was almost just seamless. I mean, it was kind of just, all right, Coach Barry's here. Let's get to work. And Coach Palmer would still come up to the field probably every other week and come check us out and come watch. So it kind of just felt like he was still part of the team, anyways. But, no, Coach Barry, I mean, he's a great coach and a great mentor, man. And, I mean, he kind of just kept us in check, and he made it really seamless and made it feel like home with how he kind of took towards us and took that towards that situation. I enjoyed it. I liked it because I thought Coach Barry was a great coach and a great person.
You talked about how the recruiting process was kind of a whirlwind, Cameron. What was it about your skill set that Coach Kaye and at the time Coach Palmer liked? And what did they initially tell you about where they saw you fitting in with this Eagle team at the time?
Honestly, man, I honestly don't know what I like. I was a little 165 soaking wet kid, man. I had a little height on me. I guess I had some pretty good hands. I had some decent speed, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of just wanted to get the work in and put the work in and kind of just let that take care of itself. Because, I mean, the last thing you want to do is kind of get into those coaches' heads and kind of think what they're trying to think. And because I did not want to get stuck into that. And I don't even like talking good about myself because I don't know. But I'm assuming that, I mean, hopefully that I just had a good work ethic and I just can kind of,
well,
understand the coaching aspect.
It all worked out, didn't it, bro?
Yeah, it worked out pretty well. And Cameron, when
you got that beach lingo all down.
When you came here, you really came. There was a lot of talent on this baseball team. What was that transition like for you?
That was really nice. I've never really had like a true team atmosphere and team leader, and kind of the seniors that we got put in with Dozier and Davis and Corey and the Ewings, and I mean all those guys. I mean, it was just their leadership is probably second to none. And if you can come into a program with, I mean, seniors pretty much at every position and they know how to get the job done, I mean, they're going to call you out in the middle of practice because they know how to get it done. They know how to win these baseball games. And I mean, I was never around that. So kind of coming into that situation, it was awesome because they taught me how to play the game as well. I mean, Dozier and, I mean, Bo being a center fielder and a leader on that team, he was always there. Just, I mean, he was helping. He always knew what to do, and he knew how to do it the right way.
Cameron, I'll put you on the spot here. And Adam Doliak is a friend of the show, okay? What is the perception now? Is he a real country singer? Is he a pretty boy country singer? I mean, like, what is the perception now of Adam Doliak?
Dude, doesn't he got the whole package? He's got it all, doesn't he?
He's pretty good in the cancer.
He's got the country. He's got the country twang, and he's got the look for it.
And Cameron, I have to congratulate you, Cameron, because you're the first person in the history of this show that has addressed Luke Johnson as dude.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, just come down to Florida and come hang out. You'll hear that all the time. No doubt about it.
All right, Cameron. About 30 seconds left. Let our listeners know what you're doing these days.
All right. So actually, I'm working for selling some real estate over in Pensacola down to Panama City. And I'm working for Heard Real Estate, where Josh Heard actually played football at University of Southern Miss during, I think, in 2007, 2008. And I'm working some real estate for his dad over here in Pensacola.
In the most beautiful part of America, I lived down there about a year and a half, and every Chamber of Commerce meeting would start by, "Welcome to another day in paradise." And that's where you live, Cameron, right in the middle of it.
Exactly. That's it. Y'all need to come down here and come enjoy it a couple times.
For sure, dude.
Hey, Cameron, thank you, buddy. We appreciate your time, man.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Cameron Brunny, everybody. One of the true great baseball players, Southern Miss.
So you didn't know he was a fighting dolphin, huh?
No, I'll leave.
I really looked up some dolphin noises. There was no way we were going to play that screeching on air.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, the rich are getting richer. SEC football players are becoming millionaires. We're going to talk about that next.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank Cameron Brunny. Great conversation with that young man who undoubtedly is now back in his trunks in the salt water as we sit here in the Southern Bancorp studio. I want to thank 4th Street Bar Grill for all they do. Great place to have lunch 5 days a week, just $9.95. That includes your drink and your tax, and it's a working man's lunch. It's good Southern food. We encourage you to enjoy lunch with Slade and the gang, 4th Street Bar and Grill. All right, guys, I want to get to this. Alabama head football coach Nick Saban yesterday at the SEC Media Days concedes that his players made over $3 million in NIL deals last year. Name, image, and likeness is a great thing for players, Saban told reporters. And I'm all for players having the opportunity to create whatever value theory can create for themselves. Saban went on to say, though, that he would like to see some guidelines when it comes to NIL on the recruiting trail. I think when it's used in recruiting, players start making choices and decisions based on promises made in name, image, and likeness. I'm not sure that's a good thing. So I do think there needs to be some guidelines. So then I go to the, this is a national article, and just to kind of get a flavor of what people think, I went to a lot of comments. I'm going to read just four of them to you. The ruling is the end of college football, as there will be 12 to 15 teams that can afford to guarantee payments like Alabama and A&M to attract the best players. The rest of the teams will go for junior league players. Another comment, like everything else, college football has now been ruined. Another one, I think these spoiled athletes should take their money and pay for college themselves, since they can now easily afford it, freeing up money for kids who deserve college but can't afford it and are qualified. And then my favorite, Alabama has the best team that money can buy. At least now they can be honest about that. So, guys, what do you think? I agree with the people that commented on that article that it's just horrible.
He said that last sentence?
Who?
Saban.
Oh, no. Those were comments from readers, people who, okay, who had read the article.
I was about to say, because that's what he accused Jimbo of, that they got in the dust up about.
Right. So, well, you know, it's just atrocious, and it just absolutely boxes out the Southern Misses and the Arkansas States and the Louisiana Techs in the world. There's no way they're going to even approach $3 million for college athletes to be paid.
But Will Hall, just not an hour ago, was speaking to Club One of Hattiesburg at a luncheon, and the question of name, image, and likeness came up. And he, you know, admitted, he said exactly what you said, Bob, that the Toledos and Central Michigans of the world are never going to. But he said that Southern Miss is also in that boat, even though they have an effort underway, you know, to deal with their name, image, and likeness players. But he said, this is not who Southern Miss is. We're never going to be in that group. We're not going to be in that club. So what's wrong with embracing who we are, all right? Winning a conference championship. Let's get back to winning conference championships before we worry about national championships. And this is going to take care of itself, because it's going to be the dogs eating the dogs up there at the top. When the Alabamas have to compete with the Floridas, the Texas A&Ms, the LSUs, the Vanderbilts of the world that have all this money, it's going to be pretty much just them out there by themselves. And there's power in numbers, and there are more mid-majors, whatever you want to call them, you know, the group of five schools, than are in these other big conferences. So they're going to wind up just having to compete with each other, and it just gets to be a spending spree, and people who choose not to participate in it won't, and then they'll play for their own championship, as it were.
Yeah. Luke, how soon can we break this thing off? Let the Power Five go do their own deal. They can become the farm league for the National Football League, because they're basically professional football teams now, and let the rest of the schools play college athletics.
You already have a split in Division One football with the bowl subdivision and the championship subdivision. Let me make one caveat. So Kelly, answer me this. If group of five teams don't play, or whatever we'll call them, we'll just call them group of five, power five for football, just to clarify.
Okay.
If group of five don't play power five, there's many group of five teams that need the money game, that they count on, you know, the $1 to $1.5 million a year as revenue. And so, you know, I'm all for it, like stick it to the man. But I think there will be times in athletic budgets, even at Southern Miss, that we're going to need a payout game.
That certainly is reasonable. And it won't work even if two group of five said, well, we're not going to play the power fives anymore. Y'all can just, you know, do what you want to do. It's that plan would work if everyone would do
it. Every team has to do it, though.
But for sure. But very few university presidents
are going to agree.
Have the audacity to do something like that. I mean, well, Conference USA couldn't even get rid. There were two university presidents in the old Conference USA that wanted to fire Judy McLeod. They couldn't even get everybody else on board for that.
Right.
How in the world would this happen?
I mean, like practically, like, I'm for it, because, as I said, you already have a separation,
right?
In Division One, and I mean, as a group of five college, former group of five college football player, I was the only person in the NCAA that like practically never competed or never had the opportunity to compete for a national championship.
Correct.
I mean, that's the group of five. I mean, I know Cincinnati got in last year. I get that. But, I mean, if they keep it at four teams, I don't know if we'll ever see, you know, like Cincinnati get back in there. They're going to the Big 12. They're not.
All right, and you just and you said before we went on the air that the SEC commissioner spoke to that yesterday, and it appears they want to eliminate the Cincinnati's from being in the
playoffs. Cincinnati will, depending on however realignment. Cincinnati's headed to the Big 12, so you know they're moving up. But yeah, what Greg Sankey said basically was. He wanted them to kind of walk back the approach if they went to a 12-team playoff where you would have six at large and then the top six conference champions would get in. So you'd have everything's got to be blown up now because you may not have like five. It may not be the Power Five anymore, you know, depending on what happens with the Pac-12, depending on what happens with the ACC. But what Sankey was saying was, whereas what they were looking at with a 12-team model, if they expanded it, six conference champs, so the highest group of five would get into that model, and six at large. What he said was basically you need to earn your way in. So walk back at looking at a conference champion being an auto bid. And the reason you're saying that is – you know, in their mind, if there was two or three SEC teams that were better than a conference champion, particularly the Group of Five champion, then he didn't say that, but that's the implication, that the Group of Five would get boxed out, and even maybe the worst Power Five champion would get boxed out in that scenario.
Yeah, well, what he's saying, the way that I read it, is that a 5-6 SEC team he thinks is better than a 9-1 group of five
100%
team.
Right. That's 100% right.
Yeah, so it shouldn't be based on wins and losses. It should be, well, just forget the record. How good are you? You know, look at who we've been playing all these weeks, and look at who
100%.
You've been playing.
It's that tunnel we talk about all the time.
It wouldn't be a 5-6 team.
not publicly.
No, but I can clearly see a 7-4 SEC team under that scenario knocking out the 10-1 Pac-12 champion. Can anybody not see that?
No, because look at who we're playing during the regular season. You're
absolutely
not.
They should just go have their own championship sometimes, you think, right?
And one, you know, one AA, you know, used to have that, you know, the playoffs where, you know, the North Dakota States and the Buffaloes of the world.
I agree with what Coach said. I've always advocated that, and I've said that many times on this show. Please, Southern Miss fans, quit worrying about what LSU and Alabama are doing and embrace being a Southern Miss fan. Embrace the opponents that Southern Miss plays. You have a Division I school right here in your hometown. Go to the football games, enjoy the competition, and quit worrying about what SEC schools are doing.
And you're in a new conference as a breath of fresh air, a new sense of excitement.
Yes, yes.
If you have been off the bandwagon for a while, it's time to get back on. Regardless of what the record is, now is the time.
Can I just state, though, what they will say back to you in order? Not that I agree with it, but I'm saying to make your argument better. If there's a breaking away, it will always be viewed as us getting shoved down. Even though it won't be us getting shoved down, it'll be them forming their own league or forming their own division. There is a sense, though, that you're not competing at the, quote, highest division, to which I will reply, well, yes, we are with amateur athletes. We're not trying
to. That's exactly right.
That would be my counter to it. But I'm just saying, if you're going to make that argument, you've got to answer the sentiment that, well, we're second rate now, which I don't think that we would be, because we would actually at that point be able to compete for a national championship.
And you could never argue apples to apples, because if you've got a military and one country has a budget of 50 gazillion and the other one has a budget of $500, I mean, who's going to have the better tools?
Luke just found the answer. Yes. They're professional athletes. We compete in collegiate athletics. The Alabama football team, I say, are professional football players.
But
they made $3 million last year.
To Kelly's illustration, though, there have been times when the $500 budget Southern Miss team beat the $5 gazillion budget other Army. It's not the same dynamic anymore these days.
Well, this argument will continue, that's for sure. Don't forget about Mobay Beignet. They're located on Hardy Street. They're the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. They cook those delicious, wicked beignets when you order them. They douse them in powdered sugar.
And I just get a sweet emotion.
Oh, yes, we do. Mobay Beignet, Hardy Street. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment today brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. They're on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Everything that's going on at DBAT and D1, you can find at DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke, Kelly, and Bob from the Southern Bancor Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, two Golden Eagles drafted yesterday. Left-handed pitcher Dalton Rogers goes 99th overall in the third round to the Boston Red Sox. Tyler Stewart goes a 179th overall in the sixth round to the, I believe, the New York Mets. Yeah, the New York Mets. Both of those guys we would expect to sign because Rogers' slot value is $620,000 value slot, and then Stewart's a little under $290,000. So congratulations to both of those guys getting drafted. Southern Miss also gets a commit. Jacob Keys, a catcher from Brandon that batted 412 last year. He will be going into his senior season with the Brandon Bulldogs. Batted 412 and looks like he decommitted from Mississippi State, commits to the Golden Eagles. So good stuff. Hey guys, Bob, in the draft from 1975 to 2017, four Golden Eagles drafted in the top three rounds. From 2018 to 2022, four as well. So just shows you where Scott Barry is taking this program.
No question about it. Ryan Bice owns South Mississippi Office Supply. We're happy to tell you that they are a new sponsor of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Always welcome people into our advertising family. Ryan, we're glad to have you on our show, and we really appreciate you becoming part of the group.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you letting us be on here.
All right, tell our listeners about South Mississippi Office Supply, where you guys are located, and what do you do?
Well, South Mississippi Office Furniture, we're actually the unknown gem of Hattiesburg is what I like to tell people. Mr. Benny Watford started the company in 1975. We're an office furniture company. We're right across from Hattiesburg Cycles on Highway 49, just up from USM. We sell new and used office furniture, assembled and delivery available. We have furniture available almost for anybody's budget. I mean, if you're just starting a company in your garage, we've got that used desk at a budget that you can get in. My brother's processing out of the Army at the time with 27 years in the military. I worked here 25 years ago when I was in college, and I always knew that I wanted to own the business just because I like the environment and I like growing. I like growing along with the customer and their business.
Right. That's a great industry, and I'm going to assume that you can provide office furniture for businesses all through our listening area.
Yes, sir. We can provide it. We go to the coast. We've been to Meridian. We've been to Waynesboro, Jackson area, Brookhaven. If it's got a road nowadays, we can get there.
See, isn't it crazy what Eagle Hour Advertising does, Ryan? Already, you're going to the coast, you're going to Jackson, and even though we're probably not responsible for that, can we take credit for it? Would that be okay?
Yes, sir. You can definitely take credit. I will share a story. The second day after Jeremy came in and told us that we were going to be on there, the second day after we were first on there, I think it was a Tuesday, and we'd only been on a sponsor for that Monday. A guy came in and said, you know, which he said what a lot of people say, never knew you existed, driven by here thousands of times, lived in Hattiesburg this whole time, and never knew you existed until I heard it on the Eagle Hour. So it does. Does mean a lot.
There we go.
We have a winner.
All right, man. We appreciate you saying that, Ryan, and hopefully that will continue. What do you sell the most of, new or used office furniture?
Well, when I first started, we took over the business in January. We bought it from the family that previously owned it. So we're the second generation as far as family wise, and again, it's my brother and I, so we continue that family owned business. It was used, but now that the supply chain is coming back on and people are liking the prices that we have on our furniture, we're selling a little bit of the new more often.
Good.
And we also buy what we call scratch and dent, and we buy closeout from our distributors. We buy showrooms. They have showrooms in Atlanta, Houston, Tampa, and we'll buy what their when they replace their showroom, we'll buy that furniture off of their showroom at a discounted rate, and we can offer that same rate to the customers and save them money as well.
Good deal. Now, everybody has a website now. Does your company have a website people can visit?
We do. It's the South Mississippi Office Furniture.com. The only thing is Mississippi is MS instead of spelled out.
Okay. And
we have a Facebook page that we like to post pictures on of our used stuff as we get it in because it comes and goes quickly. You know, the saying I like to tell customers is that I'm not trying to be pushy, but the desk you're looking at buying for tomorrow is the same desk that somebody looked at yesterday to buy for today.
That's a good line. It works. Hey, listen, man, we really appreciate you very much. Quickly, how do people reach you by phone?
It's 601-909-2416.
All right, Ryan, we really appreciate you sponsoring the Eagle Hour and anything we do to help you, brother.
Hey, go Eagles. Southern Miss to the top.
There we go. Ryan Bice, everybody. South Mississippi Office Furniture. I correct myself on that. All right, Luke, another good show tomorrow. Who have you got lined up from the Sun Belt?
We've got Kevin Warner from the James Madison Dukes.
There we go. And then we'll have a discussion on Luke's favorite team, the New Orleans Saints. My new team, by the way. I'm going to be there, Kelly, when those Saints go rolling in.
They play the Bengals this year in New Orleans.
Easy game. Overrated Cincinnati.
We'll see, buddy.
Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.